Our first public reading this morning came from Psalm number 87. So if you desire, take your Bibles and join with us. Psalm 87. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. When I read this before the congregation, I had to confess that initially was kind of straining myself and trying to find a proper understanding or a proper interpretation to be true with Scripture, not to simply go off into my own tangents. But I want to focus in on at least the first three verses. Today we hear so much about the city of Jerusalem. There's so much political unrest, so much killing, so much resources, both men, soldiers, women, children, oil, natural resources. Loads and loads of money are being poured into that part of the world just in order to kill each other in these ceaseless wars that even continue to this day. And most Christians have focused their attention on the earthly Jerusalem. Well, they failed to realize that the earthly Jerusalem did have a very prominent place under the Old Covenant. That is the place where God chose to place his name in the two tabernacles that was built, one by Solomon and then in the early chapters of the book of Ezra. So yes, Jerusalem was extremely important. Christ died outside the walls of Jerusalem. The first church was housed in that city. The first martyr of the New Testament era was Stephen in his stoning, again, stoned outside the city of Jerusalem. When Saul of Tarsus unleashed his anger and his desire to erase Christianity from off the globe, he started there in Jerusalem. But beloved, there's another Jerusalem that most Christians fail to realize even exists. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And since we are no longer under the Old Covenant, but we are under a new covenant, a New Testament that Jesus initiated the night of the Passover when he lifted up the cup full of wine and said, "This cup represents the blood of the new covenant which shall be shed for many." And so Jesus here brings in a much better covenant. According to the book of Hebrews, one of the resounding themes in the book of Hebrews is its contrasting the old with the new covenant. And every word that he uses to describe the new covenant is either the word better this and better that, better promises, better blood sacrifice, a better high priest, a better temple, better than the angels, better than Moses. And so we got to realize that the new covenant is now the main player. The old covenant has been fulfilled in Christ. But look at verse 18. "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto the blackness and darkness and tempest." Well, that's referring to the situation with Israel at the base of Sinai when Moses went up numerous times to receive instructions from the Lord. Christians are not approaching Sinai no more. "And ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness, darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they cannot endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart." And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." So Paul here is giving us a past event, a past historical event, the giving of the law at Sinai, and the tremendous impact the sight of God coming upon that mountain and meeting with a mere mortal man. But now the contrast. "But ye," now who's the ye? He's not talking to ancient Israel in the wilderness. He's talking to New Testament saints living in the middle first century. And ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, notice, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And so, yes, when we read about Jerusalem in the Old Testament, whether it's a part of the historical account or whether we're reading the Psalms and you have that beautiful flowery language of the Psalms, very, very picturesque. Yes, Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, did have a very prominent place in our redemptive history. But, beloved, that city was ultimately destroyed in A.D. 70 by the Romans. There hasn't been a temple since A.D. 70. The Jews have not sacrificed any animals on any offering, on any altar, since 70 A.D. And even if they were to build a third or a fourth temple in the future, it has nothing to do with Scripture. And the current war going on between our country and Iran fulfills no Scripture. All those scriptures in the Old Testament were pointing to Christ. He said that himself in Luke chapter 24 on two occasions to two separate audiences. Moses, the law and the prophets, expounded two things, the sufferings of the Christ and the glory that should follow. So, beloved, take your eyes off of the earthly Jerusalem, which is still in bondage, and feast your eyes on the heavenly Jerusalem that Paul describes here in Hebrews chapter 12. Amen.